T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I prefer the window seat. It helps with my anxiety of flying, not feeling as claustrophobic, and no one bothers me in the window seat.
Just get drunk, man.
Jumping up and down. Everybody's so happy. Nobody needed a plane to get home that night.
I play.
That's how I get over it.
Yeah, that helps.
So here's the thing about DJ Moore.
I'm going to be a problem on that flight. I'll tell you that right now.
That's exciting.
See, bridesmaids.
Looking forward to that.
Ready to party.
I'm excited, and I feel relaxed, and I'm ready to party. Best of them, and I'm gonna go down to the river.
When you order your drinks on a plane, when you like to get drunk on the plane, are you ordering a double right away?
Yeah, if they'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
All right, well, so we're all competing for second place with Shane to see who's going to get the most drunk on the plane tomorrow.
But see, my alcohol tolerance is so damn high.
Right, no, but you got to factor in edibles.
I'm not going to take any.
Well,
so I might do some meth.
Then you're going to win the game.
Hello, you play to win the game.
So I was telling Porth, I was like, don't worry, the shows will be professional, you know. And he's like, they're always professional. I'm like, yeah. I don't know, have you been here for any of our shows in Vegas, though?
Beer me, baby.
You're 40 beers back, bitch. Just sit back and enjoy the show.
I'm tired of people telling me what I can't do. They say I can't drink on a plane. They say I can't bang on a plane. I say I can't be a pilot. I can't be a doctor. I'm going to do it. And I'll do it right in front of your face. I'm going to chug 15 beers right now.
I might be passed out in the baggage claim, but right now, I'm drunk on a plane.
You know who Dierks Bentley is, Grody? He's the guy who's drunk on a plane. Yeah.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thanks for hanging out. Parkins and Spiegel on the show. Cody Westerlund in 20 minutes. Bulls and Sixers coming up tonight. We are heading to Vegas to do shows tomorrow from Stadium Swim, Circa Resort and Casino. But if you're not going to be in Vegas, we understand. We're sorry, but we understand. But there is a much easier, shorter commute for you to come see us. March 29th, 1 week from today, we will be at Harry Caray's because opening day is right around the corner. Opening day is the next day, March 30th. But we will be there doing the Toast to Harry Caray, March 29th, the Navy Pier location, 700 East Grand Avenue. Come on out between 2 and 5:59 because the drawing is at 6. We're giving away a bunch of opening day tickets to that March 30th opening day game.
I think it's 10 pair, right?
10 pair, but you got to be in person to win.
Mm-hmm.
So they want you to come on out to Harry Caray, watch the broadcast, register in person, and you got a shot to go to opening day the next day. And the guest list and the people that you're going to see in person at the Toast to Harry Caray is absolutely ridiculous.
Jeff Garlin, Ryan Sandberg, Dempster, Ryan, Ron Kittle, Richard Dent of the 85 Bears, Bill Curtis. Hoping to have a sit down with Bill Curtis. Cannot wait for that. And Jim Cornelison is going to sing something right there at Navy Pier, man. It should be a really good hang. And as you mentioned, Cubs opening day the next day. A lot of people excited for that team.
We're going to make him the mayor of Rush Street, Harry Caray, so we're going to be promoting that and doing the toast, and it's going to be an absolute blast. So come out and see us. Give yourself a shot at winning Cubs opening day tickets. See and meet some celebrities and celebrate the new baseball season with us at Harry Carey's 1 week from today.
Cub fans, if you're just tuning in, Marcus Stroman is your opening day starter. He announced it himself on Twitter.
Yep.
And we had a conversation with Nico Horner about 40 minutes ago that I highly recommend people seek out, especially Cub fans seek out. Really thoughtful, interesting guy who's going to be a big part of things this year, obviously.
Yeah, so baseball season is here. And even though I did not get into the World Baseball Classic as early as you did, I loved it last night. I was watching much more tournament. It's one of my favorite sporting events of the year. But the World Baseball Classic, clearly a success. Clearly a huge phenomenon internationally. I saw something that like 97.6% of the televisions in Japan were watching the final last night.
Outrageous. I saw that the ratings, by the way, in America were better than any playoff game last year in the ALDS or NLDS.
That's great.
And they rivaled the Fox Sports 1 broadcast of the NLCS that the Phillies were in as well. So that's a remarkably good showing for an international tournament in March.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, the buzz clearly got there, and it gave you the perfect ending with the two best players in the sport, two of the best players of all time, teammates facing off, and Otani besting Trout and Team Japan winning the whole thing.
Yep, and you asked John Paul Morosi earlier, like, what kind of impact this is going to have, and we'll see globally. The NBA has players from 40 different countries right now in the league. Baseball will grow even more globally, and from this, it will, but will MLB see the value in it and continue to play nice and maybe even play nicer, you know? Because MLB would need to play nicer for managers to really have the full reign and the freedom to do what they want to do in this tournament. The Japanese league plays very nice with the Japanese manager, and he was able to use Darvish and Otani however he wanted to and they wanted to be used.
Yeah, and Rob Manfred, the thing that I agree with him on, he said before the game that he wishes that the pitching staffs matched up to the star power of the position players. So I think that gives you some indication that there will be a thumb on the scale. There will be some internal pressure for the big league teams the next time around to have more cooperation with it. If that's coming from the commissioner, in theory, he thinks he can speak for the owners, and there will be, Morosi mentioned Alec Manoah and Dylan Cease. If just those two guys made a different decision, maybe it's different for Team USA. But, I mean,
I believe it's
no DeGrom, no Verlander, no Scherzer, no Cease, no Manoah, no Corbin Burns, no Shane Bieber. So many great American starting pitchers weren't on the team.
I believe it's none of the top 10 in Cy Young voting from each league who were American were on the team.
Yeah.
Zero.
My group chat with my like lifelong friends never is texting about baseball.
Yeah.
It's basically never happening. Last night, it was going a little bit. There were probably four of us like watching the game and contributing, and one of the four, it was the first game he had watched, he said, "Where are the American pitchers?"
Yeah.
Just like had the only thing that he watched, only thing that he tuned in for, and he was like, "I know all the position players, but like, what's going on here? Where are the stars?" That's something that would up at another level, and obviously give Team USA an edge, and they'll want to win and all of that. But like, that's the type of thing that is maybe a next step.
And a little nuance for within that is that if you were loaned to Team USA as a pitcher, Mark DeRosa and Team USA was under very strict rules as to what to do. Like, starting pitchers had to throw a certain pitch count, like between 50 and 65 pitches, because that's what they would have been doing in spring training as they ramped up to opening day. So there were several times that DeRosa would take a starting pitcher out and he would go to the bullpen and keep throwing to finish his particular time. So not only get taken out early, but if, he'd have to go and finish. Absurd. That time he left Daniel Bard in, who had notorious control problems, and Bard, like, walked three people and threw a couple wild pitches and hit somebody. the relievers were like basically promised to their teams that, oh, they're going to throw a full inning. So there were some people who thought DeRosa was sticking with guys to finish their inning just so they didn't have to go out to the bullpen and finish the fake inning. So
that's awkward.
That's an absurd effect on strategy that needs to end if you're really going to treat this thing with reality.
I like this texter. The perfect ending would have been USA winning, you dip bleep. And he cursed at me. America. My bad. My point was full count, Trout v. Ohtani, one-run game. Pretty great ending. And by the way, you can't argue for the good of baseball, the country that had 98% tune-in when it's the biggest baseball event. Shohei Ohtani said it was the best moment of his life, and the goal is to grow the game internationally.
Yes.
You absolutely can make the argument that it actually is better for baseball that the U.S. didn't win.
I did yesterday. You and I talked about exactly that.
Yeah, you asked me what would be better for baseball. Yeah. I said probably Team Japan.
Yes, and I agreed because the country that's
so
not...
I stand by it.
You should.
A dip leap.
You should, and you're a tremendous dip leap.
Thank you.
But like,
America.
The country that needs to really buy in here is the USA. All the other countries are extremely bought in. If you haven't noticed,
so with them not being fully bought in, if they win, maybe they don't get full buy-in.
Right.
Now they're going to be motivated to
now
win it the next
again.
Time.
Absolutely.
This is going to sound made up, but like, you know, my daughter's old enough now where she's paying attention to what I watch. So like when she's around, I will put on something friendly. And the past few weeks, it's been WBC. So I'm explaining to her the nuance of Team USA and rooting for America. Yeah, it's baseball. It's my favorite sport. It's not the White Sox, but there are guys from the White Sox who she'll recognize. And so, like, she's watching the final inning. I let her stay up with me last night to watch it. And after the America lost, she's like, Dad, are you sad? I'm like, no, not really. I said, first and foremost, I care about the White Sox more so than this team. But that was two of the greatest players we will ever see going face-to-face against each other.
Yeah.
So this is good for baseball because I'm a baseball fan, first and foremost. So it's kind of a cool moment that I got to explain to her that she
And there are
remember.
No negative consequences for America that they lost a baseball game.
That's awesome, like, Tony.
You hate America because you're okay with Japan winning.
I did not let Ruben stay up and watch, but I told him all about it this morning, and he was interested because he knows Ohtani and he knows Trout. I should have shown it to him at breakfast, though. Should have shown him the hole at bat. Now I'm jealous of your parenting experience, you bastard. How dare you?
Good dad, bad dad.
It's not a competition.
I think it is.
Yeah.
No. But no,
she's already forgotten about it, by the way.
Yeah, right. That's how they roll.
Okay, Dad.
But what a special thing. And for a lot of people, like, not realizing certain things. And, you know, Texture says, would it be better if it was after the World Series? No, I disagree. Nico Horner said it to us himself. And a couple people said it to me on my timeline last night, Danny. I'm so psyched for opening day. Baseball, that got you going. Got you going a little bit. The baseball juice is flowing in March is not a normal happenstance.
And I don't think you would get nearly the same buy-in if you messed with the offseason.
It would feel like the Pro Bowl. A lot of people saying, you know, I'm good, thanks.
I just played 162-game grind. Now you'd have to travel internationally because it's colder. You know, or you could, in theory, do it in those some places, but then other countries would make bids for it. Like, hey, I'll leave spring training, but we're staying in Florida or Arizona, and it's a gear up to the season. I think it's in the right place.
You know, if you have had this idea, and I guess the NBA has floated it, of like a mid-season tournament, and this texter is not the first one I've seen float this idea. Instead of the All-Star game at mid-season, you have the World Baseball Classic with a single elimination tournament. Would be kind of an amazing confluence if you really wanted MLB and the world to work together on all of that. It's a fun thought. A lot of logistical things to figure out, but a fun thought.
It is.
Single elimination tournament in the middle of your year.
It'd be great. And you know I love that single elimination. I think you'd have...
People say that all the time about you, by the way. I'll be in Whole Foods. Yeah. Oh, you work on Parkinson's and Spiegel with Danny, the guy who loves anything that's single elimination.
No, famous for that. I think you'd have less buy-in because you'd be... Some guys get an all-star break. Other guys got to go play in a high-leverage tournament. And if you did get injured, you'd be closer to the risk of missing playoff games and the pennant and all of that.
And you know somebody would, so some team would freak out.
I think, hey, you're ramping up for our season. You're just doing it in a different way, but you're still doing it with our guidelines and competitively and on American soil, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Baseball, It's weird. It's delicate. It's injury prone. I think it's in the right spot. I'm interested, but basketball, those guys play year round. There's not a ton of injury in the sport. So like they can do Olympic basketball in the summer, because if they're not doing Olympic basketball, they're all getting together for pickup games out in California. You know, it's just a totally different thing.
All right, so that's something you agree with Rob Manfred on.
Well, listen to how he talked about his dreams for stadiums and crowds, something we've talked about a lot coming out of WBC.
Well, I'll tell you, the noise here is unbelievable. I'll tell you, the noise in the ballparks in Asia rival it. It's unbelievable. It is the combination of nationalism and sport. I mean, it's a really powerful combination. And I hope with this tournament, we can kind of harness that combination to grow our game.
I love the fact that you see drums in the stands and everybody's got their own different things. And how do we get that to happen in our ballparks during the regular season?
Look, I think that exposure to the excitement created by these kinds of games will actually change crowd behavior during our regular season. You know, you got fans here who go to games all the time and they see what these games are like. It's going to be different in ballparks. Yeah. I really believe
that. I love that.
I really don't believe that. I hope he's right, but I think that there is such an entrenched old tradition of American baseball, dog days of summer. It's one of 162. These games have national pride.
Mm-hmm.
It is single elimination. It's different. I don't think you can inject that level of enthusiasm.
You can talk about it and hope for it. Well, you can hope that like kind of it slowly works its way in and people accept it, but you can't make it happen.
Well, but see, I think the only way you could do it is if you made it happen. You would need to like give out noisemakers. Like, remember when the Angels had the thunder sticks?
Yep.
You know, like if you did that, if like one team had their own version of the Vuvuzela and another team had the thunder sticks and one team decided we were going to be the team with the maracas and another team had we're going to be this and that.
And that might happen.
But I think that's the only, I don't think you can just like hope that they were exposed to it, so now it will happen. I think it would need to be like a concerted effort from in-stadium production. We are going to be the loudest baseball stadium in the NFL. Minor league ballpark gimmicks, band, cheerleaders, like pet, like
did he say the loudest baseball stadium in the NFL? Did anybody
catch
that?
Did I say that?
That would be awesome. Really, I'm a wishing and a hoping.
It's a short list.
All right.
It used to be a longer list, but most people don't share stadiums
anymore.
That's
true. All right. Dude, I am so close to that first cocktail. I'm so close. It's amazing. I'm giving you takes right now.
No, but what you're talking about is like this idea of baseball atmosphere and baseball culture becoming more like what it is globally. And I that it's nice to consider because it could use it on some levels, but it's also just, it's got to be the natural way of doing things. Hell, man, when I was at those games in the Dominican and they were going crazy for a strikeout in the first inning, I'm like, this is not something that is going to happen just like that. But that was a single elimination, or there was a round robin leading to a single elimination tournament.
And a texter says, F that, that's contrived. I would hate if Wrigley turned into that. That's what you're going to battle. But I don't think you can get that national pride of a tournament and elimination games on June 5th. I just don't think it's possible because the game doesn't mean that much. And that's not being a baseball hater. That's just math.
It's just the nature of it. The whole thing is in the face of that. You know, like the slog is very much part of the tradition and part of the calculus. You're trying to figure out who the best team is. Not in this tournament.
Right.
Not like that. You know, all the pacing stuff it is the same issue.
Should we share? Oh, sorry. You have another baseball point?
No, you're good.
Should we share the possibility of what we're going to do Thursday night in Vegas?
I think so. This is an exciting possibility that just presented itself.
Meet and greet with Carrot Top. At the show. At the Carrot Top show.
So
he's not coming to Circa.
We might get a chance to go see Carrot Top.
Go see Carrot
Top.
Who
is a Vegas institution.
I mean, Wayne Newton,
Siegfried
and Roy. I mean, he's got to be the longest running act in Vegas.
David Copperfield.
George Wallace.
George Wallace.
I don't know if he's the longest running, but it.
Oh, he's got to be up
Brad
there.
Brad Garrett's probably got to be up there. He's had a residency like since the Everybody Loves Raymond days.
Has he really?
I want to say it almost goes back that long.
Oh, nice. Man. I mean, Carrot Top is the laughingstock of the comedy world on some level, but also an unbelievable representative of the comedy world
His
on another level.
Of, with Marin was outstanding, kind of letting you into the Carrot Top world.
Oh, man, I got to hear it. I got to hear it.
Takes, like, he does it at Carrot Top's like mansion out there. Yeah, you should listen to it. Maybe on the way.
Yeah, you know what? I think that'd be a great thing for tonight, as a matter of fact, as I'm sitting in a different row than Bubby.
So you guys in?
Oh, we'll see.
I got those videotapes that have been lingering.
Oh, haters, yeah. Out.
No, I think I'm probably in on Carrot Top. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. All right.
I think that would be amazing.
I'm not saying my wife's a huge Carrot Top fan, but that might be one of those things where it's like, oh, man, that's cool. You got to do that without me. Like, it was one of those type deals. You know, so
yeah.
I'm not. She's not.
How about the meet and greet? How about the meet and greet? How about the possible promo picture? We have two ideas. One is a picture of us and Bubby watching General Hospital on the screen at Stadium Swim.
Yes.
Another possible picture we might come out of this with is the show coming out of Carrot Top's trunk, like standing in Carrot Top's trunk, like stepping out as props in Carrot Top's act. That's my dream now.
It's a dream. I just can't promise sobriety for that picture with Carrot Top. After a Carrot Top show, whew, that is going to be a rough version of me. Very excited to talk basketball with Cody Westerlin.
He just canceled.
No!
Oh, no, he's back. He's back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good. He's still in.
Scaring me with that stuff.
Cody Westerlin, help us explain what the hell's going on with the Bulls. Is Joel Embiid the MVP? Cody Westerlin ahead of Bulls and Sixers next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The hole. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Parkinson Spiegel to the rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
This is just a team that has to face their reality. And to be honest, we've switched the goalposts, obviously, at the start of the year.
Westerlin, oh!
Welcome back, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. And
Honestly, Spiegs, I want you to carry me because I'm ready for that first cocktail, maybe in the Uber, on the way to the airport.
All right. Well, then I'll take it from here.
Please. Thank
you. The Bulls and the 76ers tonight in a rematch of the Bulls' exciting double overtime win the other night. And we got to figure out exactly what's happening with the Pat Beverly effect, what these last 12 games mean and might mean for the offseason. And who better to talk about that with than our guy from The Score, Cody Westerlund, our Bulls expert and beat writer. What's up, Code?
How's it going, guys?
It's going, man, and you're on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, our future home, home of the world's largest sports book. Explain this team to me. Is that a tough question?
Yeah, I was listening to you the other day, Parkins, when you said they play bad when you expect them to play well and play well when you expect them to play bad, and I think that's where we're all at, but the Patrick Beverly effect, I don't know what your definition of real is, but he has certainly infused this team with some better defense and more inspired play. So this team is not, I don't want to get lost in the last 12 games, but the Bulls have been really good across the last 12 games. And right now that's what they're focused on. And really, that's what they think they can take through the rest of the season and into the play-in battle. And hopefully, for their case, their hopes and dreams, they think they can get into that traditional 8-team playoffs, which, again, that's what the playoffs are, guys. The playoffs are not the play-in. So right now, I just think it's a team that has found it's found itself a little bit because they're playing through Zach LaVine a little bit more. He's been more efficient. And I think when Alex Caruso is healthy and Patrick Beverley's out there and both of them are flying around the floor, they do have a little bit of a defensive identity, being second in the NBA in defense, I think, since the All-Star break, and top five for the season. That's a really good accomplishment for them. So it hasn't been the defense that's a problem this year. And then you add a little bit more offensive efficiency and you got a team that's finally playing better than 500 basketball.
Hey, Cody, trying to figure out that Pat Beverly effect. Instead of the logistics and why it's working strategically, tell us what you've seen in terms of like the soft factors. The guy who comes in here playing hard from his hometown wants to play hard. And is that indeed having an effect on the other people? Tell us what you've seen in that regard first.
Yeah, well, I think it does help the Bulls within the games because Patrick Beverly is a really good communicator. You saw it early on in his Bulls tenure, which I know isn't long, but that game against the Pistons where he was yelling at Vooch on the floor for a defensive missed assignment. And I thought it was telling the other night in the locker room, Patrick Beverly had a throwback joke, a callback to that instance. And he's like, you know, Vooch finally got me back for that instance when he accidentally elbowed me in the eye the other night on some friendly fire on the court. So like he has that relationship with those guys already, which is crazy because he's only been here a month, where he has the respect to joke with them and they take what he says seriously. And I do think you see that play out on the defensive end. So this is a locker room, guys. I mean, you know this. You've seen this team for a couple of years now. They got a lot of passive personalities, right? Like good guys, good people, but not a lot of guys that scream at each other. You know, like the only people the Bulls really ever yell at on the floor is their officials when they're mad about calls. That's Zach, DeMar, that's Vooch. Those guys don't yell at each other that much in the locker room, save for the one time earlier in December when they were playing terrible and some teammates called out Zach LaVine, which was certainly an occasion that was somewhat fueled by Goran Dragic, who has since left the team, obviously. So you look at the big names, even Patrick Williams, like a real laid back guy. These guys needed a little bit of a spark. Patrick Beverly has provided that with, you know, flying around on defense, and then he provides it verbally, just with the ability to get in people's faces. And I think he probably, more than anything, I don't want to oversell just communication and playing with that passion and fire, which we love to talk about in Chicago. But I just think the organization, right? Like, Zach LaVine's averaging almost 21 shots per game in the month of March, and he was averaging about 18 for the season. So, like, his shots have had an uptick since Pat Beverly got here. He's getting him the ball a little bit more. Like, that's just smart, right? That's better organization offensively, and I think defensively you see better organization too.
Cody, I know Arturis keeps everything close to the vest. He doesn't talk to any reporters really in an off-the-record, not-for-attribution sort of way, so maybe this is an unfair question, but do you think this is influencing him? Like, do you think running it back, if they do finish strong and make the actual playoffs, is in play here?
It's a really good question. It's not unfair, but it's extremely hard read. So this is by no means sourced information or anything. But just how hard he sold at the trade deadline what this last stretch of the season would mean to him, I think it has to be influencing him at least a little bit. And maybe that influence is only into the window of point guard, which I think would be the best case for them. Like, they probably should have had a better answer than Goran Dragic on a minimum contract last summer, given what they knew about Lonzo Ball's bleak health outlook even at the time, and it's been only worsened since then. But I think the Patrick Beverley effect is something that will influence them. I don't know that it's enough for them yet to say just roll it back with the same core three members and do the same thing. I still think you're going to see these guys' names, and by that I mean Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Vooch to some extent land in trade rumors. And Vooch, you've talked about a lot, Parkins, is going to be an unrestricted free agent. So the Bulls do need to bring him back or get something for him in a sign and trade. But like, I'm not there yet. I don't think they're just going to roll back this same team, because those first 60 games still meant so much and were so ugly for long stretches that I think there's something within that core they need to shake up, and they will peruse the NBA to see where they get the most value and get value back of how that makes them best. But I do think the Patrick Beverley part, like, I think they finally realized, hey, we need at least like average point guard play, veteran organization to get these guys in line within the sets and everything. And Ayo Dosunmu wasn't providing that enough, right? Like, he's a good straight line driver and fast break when he gets the ball going the hoop. But the organizational aspect, it's a completely different animal with Patrick Beverley here.
Cody, that confirms what they've been saying, what we've been seeing with Lonzo's absence for a couple of years. It drives me crazy that the effort to get a physical, you know, defensive-minded point guard who can shoot a little bit and replaces Lonzo Ball, that it didn't happen. Maybe they thought Ayo was going to grow into it. Maybe they they thought Goran Dragic was going to be more. But my God, it took this long. So I feel like that's only going to embolden AK in his analysis of the team. And as Danny and I've talked about, and you talk about, whether that happens in the offseason or not is the thing. I've come around to keeping Zach versus keeping DeMar. I'm convinced that both of them can't work as cornerstones together, but keeping Zach with his efficiency seems to make the most sense. Your thoughts on if it has to be one or the other, and which one it would be?
100% agree with you, Speaks. Love it when I agree with you like that. Zach's been absolutely awesome in March. He had a really strong February. Three of his last 4 months have really been off the charts. He had some struggles in January there for a while. But that efficiency, like, the shots have upticked a little bit, but that three-point shooting, I mean, 44% lately on high volume this month, that's just incredible stuff. You see how easy he gets it. And there's no doubt you could get more back in a trade, I think, for Zach LaVine, given how he's played over the last couple months. But I think the Bulls, and this is going back to the AK question a little bit, how much does he buy into that, and how much do optics matter, how much do pass moves matter? Because in a trade of DeMar with 1 year left on his contract, like, you're not going to get back fair value for what he's been to the Bulls, which is like 25 points per game and an all-star, obviously, after they gave up a first-round draft pick for him. You're not going to get that back in a trade. But if you just get a solid veteran who's can play some defense, knock down some more three-pointers, even if it's someone that just shoots four open threes a game and doesn't need the ball in his hands, that's fine for Zach to initiate more offense, open it up for Patrick Williams a little bit more next year, Vooch if he comes back. That's cool. I think that would be good for the Bulls. Then you start chipping away at that three-point volume problem. The Bulls last in the NBA by a wide margin on threes attempted per game. If you just get DeMar out, plug someone in, you would take care of that problem a little bit more, a good first step. So I think that's the vision. The problem with that, and the hard part, you guys know this, is just like, what's DeMar DeRozan going to be worth on the open market? 1 year left on his contract, especially if the teams that are shopping for him like don't want him outside of 1 year. How much are they going to give up? And that could be a tough pill for the Bulls to swallow, to not get much back in a trade. But I think it would probably help them if they can add some guys to rotation that fit the modern NBA better.
Just over 20 minutes until we head to Vegas, hanging out with Cody Westerlund, our Bulls reporter. You know, okay,
who's counting though?
I know. I just wanted to, there's so many things here, man. Like, so One of the conventional wisdom talking points on this team has been your best players need to be two-way players. Vooch, Zach, and DeMar are not. So that's part of why they don't fit together. But the defensive numbers that you cited have been excellent. I don't feel like I'm watching an excellent defensive team. And I know a lot of NBA people kind of disagree on the quantitative way around defensive metrics. Like, where are we wrong in our baseline level analysis here? Because to me, the talent is not matching those spectacular defensive numbers.
The spot, I don't think we're wrong to assess how the Bulls have played in this regular season. I think to carry it over, Alex Caruso and lately Patrick Beverley have raised so much havoc defensively and forced turnovers, gotten teams out of sorts. I don't think good teams in the playoffs are going to have as much of a problem with the Bulls' defense, right? Like, you saw what the Bucks did last year. The Bulls got them early in the series, and then the Bucks regrouped and just blew the Bulls out in games 3 and 4 at the United Center. And they just pivoted, took care of the ball, and got guys open shots. Grayson Allen went nuts. Like, these teams that are better with better point guard play, with more time to plan in a playoff setting, I don't think the Bulls are a top five defense in the NBA in a playoff setting. They're probably more of a top 10, top 12 defense like that when they're going up against good foes. But I mean, when you're playing teams on back-to-backs, teams that are coming off West Coast trips, you know, 4 games in 7 days, all this stuff, not much time to game plan. Like, Alex Caruso and Patrick Beverley are real irritants, and they can get you out of sorts a little bit in your set. And all of a sudden, when the Bulls rebound the ball pretty darn well defensively, that hasn't always been the case lately, but for the season, as a sum, they've been good at defensive rebounding. Like, the Bulls win that possession battle a little bit in that half-court setting against defenses. So I think that's what it is. I don't think you're misreading it by any stretch of the imagination. It's a solid defense that's probably playing a little bit above its head.
Bulls Sixers tonight. It was Bulls Sixers 2 nights ago. They beat Joel Embiid for the first time. Do you think Embiid's the MVP like the gambling market now does?
Yep, I do. And the reason I think that is because of his two-way play on both ends of the floor. I mean, we saw it in the Bulls' win on Monday night. They couldn't get anything at the rim in the first quarter when Embiid was out there for the entire 12 minutes. Couldn't get much at the rim in the fourth quarter until Embiid fouled out in overtime and that stuff. And then all of a sudden, DeMar goes to the rim for two layups. So I think Jokic, obviously averaging nearly a triple-double, amazing accomplishment, but it's just an arbitrary double-digit number. I don't think we should get lost by that by any stretch of the imagination. And Embiid being the scoring leader, like, he's almost doing as much offensively in many ways as Jokic, and I just think he's the best defensive force in the NBA when he's locked in. So I would give it to him because I think he's the best two-way force in the NBA right now, and it's just absolutely spectacular.
Hey, last thing for me, Cody. You were very helpful in looking at the career-ending injury provision in the CBA in regards to Lonzo Ball. Any feelings that the Bulls will consider such things this offseason, or are they just going to sit around and wait and hope he's healthy next year?
I have not gotten that sense that that's on the page for this offseason at all yet, Spiegs. And part of that is because even if they used it, they would be so close over the cap, and then that'd give them luxury tax relief. But that's not a $20 million slot that they can cleanly fill just by using it on him. And they would be able to use the disabled player exception next year in season, which would be a $10 million exception. It's basically half of the injured player's salary, and they'd have no problem getting Lonzo or the NBA to prove that on Lonzo for one single season, obviously, given his health struggles. So to me, that makes more sense still because they can still support him, hold out that hope for him. I think at this point, like, all these fans are thinking, you know, like, even best case scenario, he can barely play year four. Well, obviously, but you look past Lonzo, if he can make this miraculous comeback, right, he would need a new contract at the end of year four. And if the Bulls have supported him very well, he's not going to make a lot of money, but he might feel attached to them, come back, resurrect his career. So, like, they're still invested in this guy as a human. So I don't think that's on the plate yet, given some of their other salary mechanics. I think that would more likely be a year four thing on his contract to consider the career-ending injury provision.
Why aren't you coming to Vegas with us?
The only reason is I didn't get an invite. Mm. And also, Parkins, my wife is due in April, and I think that costed you a trip to Vegas one time, so you probably understand that.
That's a great point.
You regret that, though, don't you?
I mean,
you,
yeah, here's Danny? The thing, though. I resent my kid for it. That's the problem.
That should make for a good life. Yeah. You know?
That's like your Van Jefferson take, Parkins, right? Like,
yeah.
Hold him up. I mean, you are dedicated to this take. I like it.
Van Jefferson was disappointed that his wife went into labor during the Super Bowl. Why couldn't it be the day before or the day after?
Yeah.
I'll let you guys know. If my wife goes into labor when the Bulls are playing a play-in game or late season, regular season game, I will be so happy to not watch some 92-88 basketball game. It will be wonderful.
Not exactly the Super Bowl. Cody Westerlund, our Bulls reporter and friend. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great trip.
Thank you. Thanks, Cody. That's not where I was expecting him to go. I'll be happy to not watch my child emerge from my wife, is what I thought he was going to say.
He's a much more well-rounded individual than I am. We'll put a bow on this thing.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A Vegas-style bow. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Redirect.
Well, that'll just about do it. Got a few more minutes here, but my mind is already at Stadium Swim, thanks to Cody Westerlund. I think Shane's already drunk.
It's amazing how committed he is to a lack of sobriety and how much that colors his and now our expectations for the entire trip. It really is. I got to say, though, I have had a moment in my head all day long, which is the four of us at the Legacy Bar. There on
the rooftop.
Right, the rooftop bar there at Circa, having a delicious brown liquor over one large ice cube together at the end of our night. So no matter how hellacious the travel is, that moment is coming, babe.
It is. The day crawls. There are 64 hours in a day when you are flying to Vegas at the end of the day. Uh-huh. Like I normally judge shows, like, if it felt like 4 hours, it was a fine show.
Right.
If it felt like 6 hours, if it was a bad show. If it felt like 2 hours, it was a great show.
Uh-huh.
This show has felt like 3 years.
I think we should take Shane's lead and be gone and mailed in as we finish the show right here.
It was the promise that I made to everybody yesterday that I vowed to mail it in today. Did I accomplish that goal?
I think so.
And
again, that's how you beat Wojo.
That's right.
That's
we're coming for you.
Yeah.
Yes, the next time in Spanish.
All right, so Bulls Sixers later on. No World Baseball Classic. It's over. I don't know what to do with myself. Thankfully, tomorrow is 1 week from opening day.
Yes, 1 week from opening day tomorrow. So you're saying that you don't think Bulls Sixers to try to contain and hold on, stranglehold onto the 9 seed? You don't think it's going to hit you? Like the World Baseball Classic final last night?
Yeah, no.
We don't watch as we fly to Vegas. You don't think it's gonna have the same importance for you?
Watching the condensed version of it tomorrow morning is not gonna hit me in the same way. But I pledge to watch that condensed version. That's for damn sure. No, we got travel tonight. We got work to do. But this was fun. We covered a lot of ground today, actually.
Yeah, we did it. We did a ton of stuff, and I will watch the condensed version as well because I maintain about this Bulls thing. Like, I know we just talked to Cody Westerlund, and I know I'm watching the games and reading, and we are talking about it and bringing on guests or whatever. I still don't get them. I don't get them. But I'm in a weird spot now where, like, I expect tonight to be a good competitive basketball. They might lose, but I don't expect them to embarrass themselves.
You have no choice but to try and gain data and try to figure things out from these games and then think along with AK as the offseason comes.
Yeah, so that will be as we continue to plot our way to Vegas and to the end of this NBA season. But yeah, man, tomorrow, 1 week till opening day, we get to count down to the marathon of 162 and start building up some of that hype.
Absolutely. I can tell you also tomorrow is number 6 and number 5 on my top 30 favorite ball players list.
Oh,
we're
going
to pair them together and do them as a duo and enjoy ourselves in talking about both of them. So some of the listeners can probably...
That's a tease.
I know, right? Some of the listeners can probably put that together. But next week's going to be awesome, man. We're going to be at Harry Carey's for the toast on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then we'll be at Wrigley as part of the opening day festivities on Thursday, coming on the heels of Vegas. So an active week for us and the listeners as baseball starts.
A very active week, yeah. And we will be, like you said, at Harry Carey's circa the next couple of days, doing the show from Wrigley, from Pat and Ron's booth, the Ford Frick winner, Pat Hughes's booth. So that's exciting. Man, and I got to say, it snuck up on us. It's not opening day. It's going to feel like it snuck up on us because of the tournament and because of the WBC.
That's the thing, man. Yeah. And the WBC actually ended up like whetting a lot of people's appetites for opening day and getting you going and distracting you from the minutia of spring training. So
that has been nice.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That has been
it's
nice.
All part of why you're coming around.
That's right. All right. Well, so thank yous to everybody. As always, we had a ton of guests on the show today. Got to know Lucas Van Ness. Talked to John Morosi about the World Baseball Classic. Did a little Vegas talk, probably a lot of Vegas talk. Sorry if you're jealous about that, but again, we're not professionals. You're along for the ride, Mob, even if you're not there in spirit. Thank you to Kevin Lapka and Connor O'Donnell for the Twitch chat and video stream. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. If we could find him anywhere, thank you, sir.
He's gone.
Yeah, he is, mentally and physically. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. When you hear from us next, we will be hungover after a night of travel with Bubba and stories from the Legacy Club at Circa. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. This is Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
In all honesty, the boat is loaded. I've got the ice and the cold ones on it right now. And as soon as I get off this phone, I'm starting the engines and I'm going offshore.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.